As we have been doing, our first lecture will be on the lay apostolate. Last week, we went up to and through question 33. Just to remind ourselves that what we are doing here is covering two large areas of our Catholic theology. Part one is on the lay apostolate, and the course is on the document on the lay apostolate of the Second Vatican Council. There are about 35 parts to that document, and consequently, the AA following each answer corresponds to the section number in the Vatican Council documentation. We are now on part three of our reflections on the lay apostolate. Just to very briefly review, we have so far seen what the Church tells us about the need for the lay apostolate. From the very beginning of the Church, the laity were necessarily involved with the then Vicar of Christ, St. Peter, and the apostles and their successors. The lay apostolate is not new. However, in our day, given the widespread breakdown of, shall we call it, the priestly or episcopal side of the Church, for example, who would remember the year that St. John Fisher was martyred by Henry VIII? Who remembers? 1535. As you may also know, all the rest Please.
Could I announce about confessions real quick?
Yes.
I'll be down the hall in the copy room, which is about almost toward the end.
Hearing confessions, right, Father?
Yes, so 3 o'clock. So if you want to go, come early, okay?
I strongly recommend to get the confession.
There's a Pontiac Grand Prix gray or blue with 950 HRV that's blocking the doorway here. The family has to get out right away. I don't know if it's anybody here or not. But it's a kind of an emergency situation. It's a Pontiac Grand Prix, kind of gray blue. All right, thanks a lot.
Am I free to continue? May I continue? So confessions are being heard, and you are most welcome, encouraged to get to confession. Always, this is an option. First, to go back to where we began. There has never in the history of the Church been a greater need for the lay apostolate than in our day. Going back to 1535, when Henry VIII murdered the Bishop of Rochester in England, St. John Fisher. But now, over the last almost five centuries, the Catholic Church has lost, I'm not exaggerating, several thousand members of the hierarchy. the whole British hierarchy apostatized. A very good one-sentence definition of Protestantism is, Protestantism is lay Christianity, period. Am I clear? I'm just giving you some reasons why we're taking a course in the lay apostolate. Because the breakdown of the Catholic Church in one once civilized country after another, like our own, requires dedicated, believing Catholics who will preserve the true faith and spread it. In other words, the lay apostolate is no option today. It is absolutely necessary for the survival of the church in our country. With that as a background, we go back to our questions and answers. What is the field or the scope of the lay apostolate in our day? Question 34. What are the principal areas of the lay apostolate? They are church communities, the family, young people, the apostolate of like towards like, and national and international organizations. You might ask yourself, what's left? The answer is, nothing else is left. The lay apostate is to affect the whole of society. Just a word about each. Church communities. The Archdiocese of Detroit, in less than 2 years, 42 parishes were closed. The Archdiocese of Chicago, in 1 year, 62 parishes were closed. 20 reasons are given. There is really only one. So many have lost their faith. And there's no other way of either preserving the faith or strengthening the faith or restoring the faith except through strong believers. The United States will continue closing parishes. In the world there are today almost 2,000 empty dioceses. We call them titular sees. These almost 2,000 dioceses had bishops, had millions of believing Catholics. Almost 2,000, I repeat, of these dioceses have disappeared. My Vatican superiors tell me, and I never tire quoting it, unless the faith in the United States is strengthened, especially by the laity, there will be empty dioceses in America. The laity are indispensable. I use my words deliberately. the laity are necessary for the survival of the Catholic Church in America. Do you hear me? How to do it? Just a word about each. The family. You don't promote the faith by getting a divorce and then an annulment. Only believing families can preserve family life. Young people. And we'll see before we go on too far, it is never too early to start training children in the apostolate. You mean little children? I mean little children. The apostolate of like towards like. Catholic lawyers being apostles to other members of the legal profession. Catholic physicians. Oh, how we need them. Real, honest to God, Catholic politicians. Where do you find them? In national and international organizations. What a difference between being called a Catholic organization and being one. How well I know. How sadly well I know. How do the laity engage in the Church's apostolic works? They cooperate. Notice, cooperate. What I'm sharing with you in these classes is what the Holy See has been telling me for years. Motivate the laity. Inspire the laity. Otherwise, as the Holy Father's secretary told me, otherwise, the Church in America, I repeat, will not survive. But this must be a cooperative venture. In order of importance, spreading the Word of God. By the way, that's not a symbolic term. Word of God means what God has revealed. Revealed in sacred scripture, revealed in sacred tradition. And except for miracles, which God does not expect to work unless they're absolutely necessary, the ordinary way that God wants the Word of God to be passed on is from one believer to another person. In other words, I think I'm safe in saying this. I trust everyone here is a believing Catholic. If you're not, you are most welcome. And bring your non-Catholic friends. But where did we receive our Catholic faith? From the sky? From the ground? Somebody who believed shared the faith with us, right? This is the ordinary way that God gives people the faith through believers. There must be someone who believes and hear it. And that someone who believes must somehow open his mouth. When St. Paul tells us faith comes by hearing, what is he telling us? Somebody had better talk. It believe me, is not just another class. The survival of the Catholic Church in America, I mean every syllable of my next sentence, depends on you proclaiming the Word of God to others. My catechetical instruction. How soon should catechetical instruction begin? By the age of reason?
No.
Much too late. Next question. In infancy?
No.
It also is late. In the womb. We are not angels, we are human beings. The angels communicate thoughts, as we'll see when we come to the angels. The angels communicate thought without any senses being used. Angels have no mouths, did you know that? Angels have no ears. You mean they're rational? You better believe it. A mother communicates her faith to the child in her womb. Having been in my doctoral studies in biochemistry, I could lecture for hours on the influence of the mother's thinking and her behavior on the child in her womb. How is this lay apostolate to be engaged in by the laity assisting in the care of souls and in the administration of the goods of the church? In other words, there is no limit to the variety of ways in which I don't say you can. I won't even say that you should. There is no limit to the variety of ways in which you must. I use that imperative deliberately, in which you must engage in the lay apostolate. Question 36. What is the role of the parish in the lay apostolate? First, I might define what a parish means. In the mind of the church, a parish has a pastor who is a Catholic priest. Period, or better, exclamation mark. The parish offers extraordinary opportunities for the laity to work together in the community apostolate. To do this effectively, they should cooperate closely with their priests. Am I clear? There are now pseudo-parishes in America. As you know, being administered, I don't say not by priests, not even by laymen, or by lay women. I mean my next sentence, God help the church. Years of teaching my own Jesuit priests their theology has taught me many things. One thing I can tell you, a priest desperately needs the assistance, the cooperation, the support of the laity. To do this effectively, the lay people should cooperate closely with their priests. The focus of this cooperation should be the spiritual welfare, not only of the parishioners, but of everyone for whom the parish can be a channel of grace. Hear it. My canon law, the parish, every Catholic parish, has responsibility not only for the professed Catholics in the parish. By church law, the parish is responsible for every human being residing within the territorial boundaries of every parish. Do you hear me? You mean the Methodists and the Baptists? Yes. The Jehovah's Witnesses? Yes. The Catholics? Yes. And notice the last phrase. For whom the parish can be a channel of grace. As I believe I've said before, and I'll repeat more than once before this course is over, my favorite definition of the apostolate is being a channel of grace to others. That's what an apostle is. One who has received grace from God and then is used by God to channel grace to everyone whose life that person touches. Question 37. What is the place of the family in human society? The Creator made the married state, and therefore the family, to be the foundation of human society, elevated by Christ. The sacrament of matrimony is the basis for the apostolate of married persons and their families. I cannot tell you how indispensable are strong Catholic families in order to evangelize other families. But I need not tell you further that to even keep a family sound and alive and stable in today's world is not easy. Well, there is a special grace that only families can be the channels for other families to communicate. In other words, without the family, there can be no society worthy of the name. To believe that is to be a Christian. Not to believe that is to be a Marxist. I began reading Karl Marx at the age of 14, as I've said to some of you more than once. Much too soon. One of the great quotation marks books by Marx is on the family. The family, so Marx taught, was created by men, masculine gender, to dominate women. At the heart of Marxism is to destroy the family and replace authority from the family by the state. Do you hear me? Mm-hmm. My background, as most of you know, is laugh. So many of my own relatives in Europe have died for the faith under communism. But hear it. The most, shall I coin the word, Marxified country in the world, the most powerful nation in the world that has been profoundly, profoundly infected by Marxism is the United States. Believe me, most Americans are living in a dream world. And the more newspapers you read, the more television you watch, the more brainwashed you become. Consequently, the family apostolate is basic for the preservation of our society. In God's providence, some 17 years ago, you may have heard the name. A man by the name of Jerry Conacher. Ever hear of Jerry Conacher? Made a retreat that I gave in Chicago. That's how the apostolate for family consecration began. Am I clear? Families to work together, well, they better be Catholic, and then work together as families. Holy Father speaks of the apostolate of families to families. But you better have a family yourself, a good, strong family. Question 38. How are parents the primary teachers of their children? Christian couples are the first to pass on the faith to their children and educate them in understanding what they believe. My friends, I beg you, remember, memorize. Father and mother are not only the first to pass on the faith to their children, but that conjunction "and" is crucial. And educate them in understanding what they believe. I know, I don't know how many times I've said this, and to many of you perhaps too often, but chapter 13 of Matthew's Gospel has, as you know, the famous parable of the sower sowing his seed. Four kinds of ground on which the seed fell. Only the fourth produced any yield. And the first fruitless soil, remember, was what? Was the pathway. Well, the disciples asked our Lord to explain. Because Christ said, that's the first fruitless soil. Jesus said, it was a pathway. Hard ground. The seed fell on the ground. Had no soil to sink into. So the birds had a feast. As you know, birds don't miss a thing. They saw that seed and immediately picked it up. So the disciples asked our Lord, What does that mean? Over the years of my teaching theology, there is no single, I believe, passage of the Scriptures except our Lord saying, the Father and I are one, professing His divinity. I know of no single statement of our Lord that is practically more important than what Jesus taught the disciples. The seed falling on the wayside is the Word of God entering the hearts of people. But because they do not understand the Word of God, the evil spirit comes along like a bird of prey, steals the Word of God from their hearts. Only God knows why we've lost millions of once believing Catholics in our own generation. Millions. But the main reason, I sincerely believe, is that Catholics, as all of us in the United States, we are the most educated nation in human history. Over 5 million Americans on college campuses every year. But these same American Catholics, educated to the hilt in everything, do not understand their faith. And as parents tell me, some, by the time they finish grammar school, going to high school, to not terrify their parents, they may still go to church on Sunday. By the time they finish high school, they are more, shall I say, courageous. By the time they finish college, many simply give up their Catholic faith as a remnant of their childhood. Am I clear? There is nothing more important for the Church in the United States than for Catholics to understand their faith. Nothing more important. And the more educated the mind, the more that educated mind becomes, I know what I'm talking about, becomes the worst enemy of our faith. He'll just tell you, this doesn't make sense. Why doesn't it make sense? Because their minds have been educated in everything from enzymes to zoology. But they don't understand their faith. Year after my ordination, in fact, the summer after my ordination, I was teaching theology at U of D. I was given the course in the sacraments, 6 weeks on the sacraments. I thought I'd first pass around a questionnaire among these, well, some 30 students. One of my questions was, name the 7 sacraments. Out of those 30 students, 5 knew the names of the 7 sacraments. And I'm not joking. And among the sacraments that some listed was divorce. Oh, educated we can be in everything. I mean everything except what really matters. Our faith. That's why I spend so much time on that first sentence. They are the first to pass on the faith to their children and educate them in understanding what they believe. But let's be honest. We can pass on only what we ourselves possess, right? The parents must, no option. They must themselves understand what they believe. Otherwise, God will not use them as channels of grace to their own children. I know much more about this than you would ever guess. The parents do this by word and example, by forming their children to an apostolic life, by guiding them in the choice of a vocation, and encouraging them to embrace the priesthood or the religious life if they see this as the will of God. All I'm doing here is synopsizing what the Second Vatican Council teaches. How we need, how desperately we need vocations in our country. Well, where will you get them? Where? My father died when I was a year old. And I had no brothers or sisters. As I grew up, sometimes when, I guess I can say this, when I misbehaved, mother would tell me, "Oh, John, if only your father were here." It takes father and mother, both, and working together, how my heart goes out to those children, one of whose parents has either died or, in the case of a broken family, Question 39. How are children to be trained regarding marriage? As you can tell, every one of these short answers deserves a class all by itself. And over the years, I've taught too many courses in theology, including courses in marriage. How are children to be trained regarding marriage? By their own lives, parents are to show their children that marriage is indissoluble and holy. Those two words are part of the Vatican Council's teaching. The two things that the children must see in their parents is their marriage is, and we've got the theological term, indissoluble. That it cannot be dissolved by any human authority. No Pope. That's why Henry VIII, oh, you know this, don't you? Feminism began in the Western world with Anne Boleyn. You know who Anne Boleyn was? She was the mistress of Henry VIII. Henry's wife, of course, was Catherine of Aragon. But Anne Boleyn decided, took Henry aside one day, "Henry, no more sex unless I become queen." And that statement of one woman has changed the course of history. Hope I'm making sense. Once Henry and that his followers decided to form a new religion where divorce and remarriage is part of, if you please, Christianity. Is it any wonder that the United States has the largest percentage of broken families in any large nation in the world? Oh, all the parents better, dear God, better teach their children that marriage cannot be dissolved by any human authority. That marriage is holy. We don't teach merely by words, as we all know from childhood. All the pious words of our parents are so much wasted air, lest our parents live what they preach. Am I clear? And children are shrewd. Oh, they are very shrewd. Parents should vigorously notice, and I'm quoting from the document of the Second Vatican Council, vigorously, as we say in Latin, cum vigore, with muscle. The right and duty of parents to give their children a Christian upbringing. I never thought I'd live to be called up by a father who had spanked his daughter, not severely, but spanked her. She deserved it. The daughter went to school the next day, told the student counselor. The student counselor called the police. The father was arrested. And then the father was told, you must take 6 months of psychological counseling. Otherwise, you go to jail. Because of my graduate studies in psychology, I qualified as a counselor. You can just imagine what I told the father. You did the right thing. Only God knows how the rights of parents in our nation have been stolen by the state. Thanks in large measure to Karl Marx. Parents are to defend the dignity and autonomy of the family. Two sentences matter, two words. Dignity and autonomy of the family. A family is meant to be a unit of loving persons who share with one another and share with one another that they do not share with others. That's what the word autonomy means. There's an identity that a family should have which is unique to this family. And parents are to defend their rights. And how hard, dear Lord, how hard to defend their rights in today's American society. Question 4. How is a family the primary cell of society? The family is the primary cell of society by a mission from God Himself. Why are there families on earth? I hope you hear this again. Because God is a family. The the Holy Trinity. He is three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God could not, I mean every word I'm using, God could not create human beings without having created them as members of a society which at root is a family. Why not? Remember in Genesis, the first chapters of Genesis describe, after God, remember, the first 5 days created the visible world. But the irrational, the sun, moon, and stars, the animals, the birds, the fish,